more of that tonight. He is a mighty, awesome, great, eternal God. And as we say over in Georgia, hallelujah, amen. The Gospel of Mark tonight, chapter 4 in your Bible. And we're going to lay down a little bunt. We got a home run hitter tonight. And we're excited about hearing Brother Gaddis again. I love coming to Fort Worth, Texas. I like Texas. I like North Texas, South Texas, West Texas. I like East Texas. I like Texas. And I like to go to church in Texas, and I like to go to singings in Texas. I like to go to eating in Texas, and I like to deer hunt in Texas. Amen. Why hit a ball when you can shoot a deer? But anyway, I'm glad to be here. I love your pastor. I love his spirit. Love the staff. It's just a great place. Thank all you other preachers for coming. Brother Shipman, good to see you and your family tonight. Thank you so much. And the Lord is gracious to us. I was going to tell you about my singing CD I got, but after that lady sang, I need to be quiet about mine. My singing compared to hers is like a Missouri mule in a Kentucky Derby, boy, I'm going to tell you right now. But the only comforting thing I know is the same God that made the canary made the crow. Don't laugh at that, but amen. But anyway, we do have our CD out there, and come by, will you? And I'll reduce the price tonight, so come by, and we do have that. And for those that are watching my live streaming, at the bottom of your screen is a 1-800 number. Please call and send some money in. I don't mind if they watch live streaming, but man, they don't ever send any money in. Well, you got to have if you're going to ask. Amen. The Lord is good. If you're saved tonight, raise your right hand. If you know it, raise your left hand. If you're glad about it, raise both of them. Turn to somebody beside of you and say, I'm saved. Turn back around and say, and if you're not, I can tell you how. I got in this meeting the other day, and it was filled with hyper-Calvinists. I don't know how I got there. By the time I got through preaching, they were hyperventilating. Because I am a first-class, card-toting, bona fide, shown up whosoever will. But anyway, the guy got up to speak, and he made this statement. He said, I know I can't lose my salvation. Well, I believe that. But then he followed up with this. He said, I know I can't lose my salvation because I don't know how I got mine. I started to say, Bubba. If I'd have been a Yankee, I'd have said, Bubba X, let me say something to you. And I start to say, Bubba, if you don't know how you got your salvation, how in the world are you going to tell anybody else how to trust Christ? But I'm glad I know where I got it, how I got it, and who gave it to me. Praise God. And I praise the Lord tonight for his goodness. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 4, and we'll begin reading tonight in verse number 35. Mark chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 35. And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also other little ships with them. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship, say this with me, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, say this little phrase with me, asleep on a pillow. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I love verse number 39, and he arose. Aren't you glad when the wind got up, the master got up? And you remember this tonight, when waves are over your head, they're always under his feet. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I'm interested tonight in verse number 38, in that little phrase where it said, Asleep on a pillow. Asleep on a pillow. The word pillow is mentioned two times in the King James Bible. Once in the Old Testament about Jacob, when we was running for his life, like you preached last night, he came to Bethel and took a stone and used it for a pillow. That night is where God showed him the ladder. Then in the New Testament, in our text, the Bible said that when Jesus was on this ship in this storm, that he put his head on a pillow and went to sleep. Now, this does not mean that the Lord is unconcerned, and it does not mean that he's unaware. It just simply means he's not worried, because he knows what he's going to do. And he knows there is not a crisis greater than the Christ. So in this storm tonight, Jesus pillowed his head. And I want to preach tonight for just a little while on this subject, pillowing your head in the storms of life. I'm glad when the storms of life are raging, we can pillow our head and have the blessed assurance that we know everything is going to be all right. In our text tonight, it is a scene of darkness. This storm happens, the Bible said, in the evening time, a scene of darkness. And if you live in the real world long enough, you will find yourself in seasons of darkness. But aren't you glad the same God that's the God of the day, he is also the same God that's God in the night. It was a scene of darkness. Then in our text tonight, it was also a scene of danger, because the Bible said the ship was full of water. Now, it's okay when the ship is in the water, but when the water gets in the ship, you got troubles. And the Bible said the ship was full. And have you ever felt like in your Christian life you were full up to here with burdens and troubles and storms and trials? It was a scene of danger. And then our text tonight is also a scene of doubt, because the Bible said in that storm, they awake the master, and they ask him a question, Carest thou not that we perish? They were doubting his care. They were doubting his love. I just love to hear these high-powered, flaming evangelists preach against people who doubt. I heard one say a while back, he said, if you doubt, I doubt you. I doubt him. Someone said, do you doubt people that doubt? I doubt people that do not doubt. You say, well, I've never had any problem with doubt. Then you're better than John the Baptist. And he was full of the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. In fact, John the Baptist had his first shouting spell before he was ever born. And we got a bunch of Baptists that's been born again, been born twice, and you can't get them the grunt. Hallelujah. Jesus said about John the Baptist, there's not a man born a woman any greater than John the Baptist. But yet, when he was facing getting his head cut off, he said to the servant, go ask Jesus, is he the Christ, or shall we look for another? Can I remind you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that John the Baptist was the one that baptized Jesus, and he is the one that heard the audible voice of God thunder from the glory world. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But he had a problem with doubt. And someone said, I've never asked God questions. Really? Then you must be better than Jesus. Because Jesus cried from the pathos of his Calvary experience, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I don't ever read where God answered from heaven, why? But every time I read Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 8 and 9, I hear the answer. The Bible said that when Jesus Christ went back to heaven, he brought many sons in the glory. And I believe every time an old sinner walks the aisle and trusts Christ as his Savior, the Father looks at the Son and says, that's why. It was a scene of doubt. They said, Jesus, do you not care that we perish? What they did not know was they were not going to perish, because you can't perish with the captain on board. And can I say they not only have the captain on board, they have the master of the sea on board. They just think they're going to die. They think they're going to perish. It is a scene of danger, of darkness and doubt. But I'm glad Jesus still arose to the occasion. Stepped out on the bow of that ship and did for them what they could not do for themselves. I've often heard preachers say there's three kinds of believers. Those that are going in a storm, those that are in a storm, and those who've just come out of a storm. I like to say it like this. He is God before, beneath, and beyond the storms of life. And I'm glad when the storm comes and the trial comes and the test comes, we can be like our Lord and pillow our head in the midst of the storm. In the text tonight, there are five places that we can pillow our head in the midst of the storm. If I spend an hour on each one, that's only 5 hours, and we want to give our brother plenty of time to preach tonight. Number one, when the storm is raging, look if you will, in verse number 35, you can pillow your head on his promises. The Bible said Jesus told those disciples, get in the ship, boys. We're going to the other side. He made a decree. He made a promise. Let us pass over to the other side. And can I remind you tonight, when Jesus, the captain of our salvation, says we're going to the other side, you can pillow your head on that. We are going to the other side. Nearly every Monday morning of my life, my wife drops me off at the Hartsfield Airport. My wife and I just celebrated our 30th anniversary. Someone said, how do you live so peacefully for 30 years? I'm never there. And she'll drop me off at the airport. And I don't walk in the airport and say, well, anybody got a plane around here I can ride? No, I have a destination in mind before I get there. And way before I purchased my ticket, somebody in a high office had predetermined the course that a certain flight on a certain day is leaving for a certain city and going to a certain place. And if I want to go on that certain flight and on that certain city to get to that certain place, all I got to do is get the ticket. I don't have to plan the trip. I don't have to provide for the trip. I don't even have to fly the plane. In fact, I don't have to stand up while we're flying. I can sit down and drink a Coca-Cola, because the trip is not in my control. It's not my trip and it's not my ship. I'm just in for the ride. Now, we may hit some turbulence. We may hit some trouble, but before it ever left the tarmac, it was predetermined that this plane, this flight, this destination is leaving this city and going to a certain city. Ladies and gentlemen, I have just explained to you the pure Bible doctrine of predestination. God has never predestinated a sinner to die without Christ and go to hell. No. But God has predetermined that every soul that believes on Jesus and trusts Jesus as his Savior, one day will arrive safely into the city of God. I didn't plan the trip. I'm not driving the ship. I'm just enjoying the ride. I am going. I'm going to make it. I can pillow my head on his promises that we're going to the other side. Number two, notice in verse number 36, you can pillow your head in the storms of life on his people. Notice what it said in verse number 36. I love this. And there were other little ships with them. I want to say to those disciples who have their nerves tore up, hey, fellas, you're not alone. You're not the only one going through this storm. You're not the only one that's hearing the thundering. You're not the only one that's seeing the lightning. You're not the only one that's feeling the pellets of the wind as it blasts the water against your face. You're not the only one rowing and towing. You're not the only one paddling the sea. You're not the only one that's afraid and confused and bewildered. You may not be able to see it. The fog has settled in and the great clouds have settled in. But brother, right over here and right over yonder and right over there are some more saints, and they're going through the same thing. You are not alone. May I say to you tonight, in your storm, in your trouble, in your malady, in your affliction, you are not alone. There's other saints of God going through it too. There's other saints of God battling it too. But guess what? That saint of God that felt God's care, you're going to feel God's care. And that saint that saw the provision of God, you will see the provision of God. For Stuart Hamblin said, it is no secret what God can do. For what he's done for others, he can do for you. And you are not alone in the storms of life. Had a lady say to me not long ago, she said, preacher, she said, I won't be in church for a couple of weeks. And I know I shouldn't have done this. I should not. But before I thought, I said, well, that will be nothing unusual for you and your family. And I know I shouldn't have done that. But it did feel good. And I said, what is it this time? She said, oh, pastor, we've got troubles. We have issues. And we're not going to come back to church till we get our issues. I said, may I say to you, sweetheart, if you wait to come back to church till you get rid of your issues, you won't be back. I said, let me lay something on you. I got issues, you got issues, all of God's children got issues. Someone said, but oh, my family is in a mess. I have things in my family that's embarrassing. I have things in our home that's out of whack. We have things in our lives that we're ashamed of. Take a number and get in line. We all have burdens and troubles and storms and trials. I believe every once in a while it will do a church good to hear their pastor say, you know, I feel bad myself. I got a friend of mine. I love this man. I love this man. I love this man. I believe he's a good man. I love him, but I believe he lies. Because every time I see him, it doesn't matter. How you doing? Great. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Hey, great. Oh, I told my wife the other day, I don't believe a word of it. You say, how do you know? He's married, and it ain't great all the time. Number two, he pastors a Baptist church, and I know that's not great all the time. And number three, I preached in his church, and I know it ain't great all the time. I told my wife the other day, honey, just to make me feel better about my own situation, I wish I could ask him just one time. I mean, just to make me feel better. I wish I could ask him just one time, brother, how things going? And just for me, I wish he'd pull a Barney Fife and go, rotten, 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 rotten. Brother, sometimes it's rotten. Sometimes it's rough. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's hard. But I've come to remind you, you don't have the only child that's going astray. You don't have the only family member that's lost without God. You're not the only one facing financial adversity. You're not the only one with disease in your body. You may not be able to see them through the storms of life, but them other ships and them other preachers and them other saints, you're not alone. You don't sail alone. And every once in a while, through the fog, you ought to shout glory to the other little ships and say, praise God. Hold on, young'uns. We're going to make it. You can pillow your head in the storms of life on His promises, on His people. Number three, notice in verse 36 and verse number 38, you can pillow your head on His presence. The Bible said in verse number 38, verse number 36, they took Him, I love this, even as He was in the ship. I've got wrote down in my outline, Paul's glory right here. Glory right here. He was already in the ship. He was already in the ship. I'll tell you one thing, these disciples may not be the brightest bulbs in the box sometime, but they had enough sense to know we can't sail without Him. We can't sail without Him. They took Him even as He was in the ship. And then in verse number 38, when I saw this, it was like dynamite went off in my soul, and I'm going to try not to run a lap or two right here. But I'm telling you, if you've ever even thought about smiling in church, here is a place to put one on. The Bible said He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Do you realize what is in the hinder part of the ship? It's the gearbox that controls the rudder, that controls what direction the ship is going. Jesus had got down in the back of that ship and laid His garments on the gearbox that's controlling the direction of the ship. He's amen. As a wise man once said, I forgot who it was, it might even have been me. He's not just on board, but He's in control on board. Lord, have mercy, young'uns. Can I say that again? He's not just on board, but He's in control on board. Aren't you glad tonight? Our life does not rest into the hands of politicians and religious leaders. It ain't Osama, Obama, nor your mama. Our life rests into the hands of a God who is not just on board. He's in control on board. And I can pillow my head. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. You can pillow your head tonight on that. Number four, look in verse number 39. You can pillow your head on His power. Because the Bible said in verse number 39, and He arose. I'm glad tonight there is no crisis that can arise greater than our Christ. He arose and rebuked the wind. Could I use that little word, arose, there in another setting? He died for our sins. They laid Him in a tomb, and the Roman soldiers said, we stopped Him. And the devil said, I've destroyed Him. But can I remind you that early one Easter Sunday morning, up from the grave, He arose And he lives forever with his saints to reign. Hallelujah. Christ arose. He arose and rebuked the wind. He put the wind in its place. He literally stepped out on the bow of that ship and said, I'm from the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. We don't speak English. We speak Virginian. Just like some of you guys don't speak English, you speak Texas. I was preaching the other day up north in Michigan, and this lady came to me. She said, well, Brother Arthur, awesome message, man. Praise the Lord. It's really wonderful. I thought, that's great. I preached that same message down in Mississippi the other day. There's some boys said, oh, good right there, good right there, good right there. Texas is somewhere between Michigan and Michigan. But my dad and my grandparents invented words. My family could be public speakers. You go, wow, they're smart. I've never heard those terms. Reason why, they didn't exist, so the Arthur family invented them. I never remember my daddy saying, come over here. He said, him. Him. And I never remember my daddy saying, be quiet. I never remember my daddy saying, shut up. My daddy would say, heish. Raymond Barber style, heish, heish. You say, what's that mean? Shut up. Be quiet. Heish. Man, I'd get to talking to him. Heish, heish. But aren't you glad the master of the sea walked out and said, heish. Well, don't you like it when the Lord comes by and says, it's going to be all right? His power. Can I remind you tonight, God can do anything. God can do anything. God can do anything. And when it's out of your hands, it's out of your control, you can pillow your head tonight on the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is God, and besides Him, there is none else. Last but not least, in verse number 39, number 5, you can pillow your head on His peace. You can pillow your head on His peace. Because the Bible said in verse number 39, and He arose and rebuked the wind, and I love this phrase, and there was a great calm. It's amazing to me the same descriptive word He used to describe the storm is the same descriptive term He used to describe the peace. Great wind, great calm. You say, how do you go from great wind to great calm? Because between the great wind and the great calm, there's a great Savior. You can rest assured tonight He gives peace in the midst of the storm. Peace is not the absence of fear. It's not the absence of trouble. It's not the absence of trial. But it's serenity and peace and assurance and calm in the midst of the trouble and the storm and the trial. I read this the other day and I think it describes peace really well. That was a university, and one of the art teachers in that college gave his students an assignment over the weekend. He said, over the weekend, I want you to paint a picture on canvas of serenity and peace and calm. This weekend, I want you to put on canvas a picture of peace, serenity, and calm. Monday morning, the art students came back in, and some had painted pictures of sunrises and sunsets and waves and oceans and different things, and that was their idea of what peace was. He came to the last student and he looked at the painting and he almost got mad. He said to the student, are you mocking me? He said, I told you to paint a picture of peace, serenity, and calm. He said, all I see in your painting is black clouds and white lightning and thunder and wind blowing and trees bent double and little pellets of rain hitting the side of a rock. That's not peace, son. That's fear. That's terror. That's dread. He said, you're not looking close enough, sir. He said, you see in the little crevice of that rock, look real close. He said, there's a little bird sitting comfortable in its nest with its head held high, chirping away. He said, the lightning's flashing and the thunder's rolling and the wind is blowing and the rain is beating against the rock, but in there where that bird is, that's real peace. Oh, aren't you glad when the thunder and the lightning and the storm is rolling around us? He hideth our soul in the cleft of a rock and covers us there with his hand. Peace, peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. There's peace in the time of trouble. There's peace in the midst of the storm. There's peace though the world be raging, in the shelter of his arm. Hold me fast. Let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Can I remind you tonight, he is the wave walker. He is the wind calmer. And he is the peace speaker. And you can pillow your head in the storms of life, that everything is going to be all right, because the Master has said, we're going to the other side. I'm in his hand, and no man can pluck me out. No wonder the songwriter said, well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin, no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. You can pillow your head in the storms of life. Thank you, Lord, tonight for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of the Bible. That you're real in the good times and you're real in the bad times. Lord, bless the remainder of our service tonight. And bless our dear brother as he comes to break the bread of life. Hide him behind the cross. Anoint him with thy spirit. Use him for your glory. Lord, help us to remember when the storm comes, we can pillow our head that you're still God and you've got it under control. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.